I believe in Jesus Christ, God of God, light of light, true God of true God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Welcome, family, and friends, and neighbors, and visitors, and faithful, to our beautiful church this Christmas. Lately, on Sundays for the sermon, we've been doing catechism. Simple stuff, really. But it concerns the sublime mysteries of our faith. What do we believe? And why? All of it rooted in reason, but rising up upon the structure of Scripture and tradition to carry us to heaven. What is it? We looked at, for example, to believe. So far we've done that. This Advent we've done belief and faith. Faith in God, the Father, creator of heaven and earth. And tonight, there's more to be studied. Why all the fuss? The catechism answers questions. I mean, the solemnity. The church, once the lights come on at the Gloria, you will see it transformed. And there are the beautiful sounds of the choir, and the smells, and such sights, and silence too, and light. The sonorous scriptures read and chanted, the bloodless sacrifice at the heart of it all, the birth of the baby God in form of bread at the consecration. It is because this boy, whose birth we keep this night with countless candles, for he is the light, this boy is God, God of God. We sing it in the longer Nicene Creed tonight. Lumen de lumine, light of light, true God of true God. Our God is not the Muslim God. One, not three for them. They don't believe in the adorable Trinity. And our God is not a cold and a distant and inscrutable God. Islam, just submit the sword and the bomb, if you won't, awaits. He is the God who made everything and saw that it was good. In the old covenant, and in the new, entered his own creation and experienced it and became one of us, became man. Nor is our God, this baby God born tonight, a lovely bit of poetry. A myth, a story, worthy of the ancients, which gave back then Christians a place at the table of great religions, and whose telling summons back nostalgic, beauty-starved souls, maybe just once a year. Ours is not the God of the modernists, nor of the moderns, nor of the millennials either, now that I'm thinking of it. But millennials, of course, are quite welcome here with all of their funny ways, as are you all with whatever way you have. After all, at the first Christmas, there were those animals. and then rude shepherd priests crowded in with their gifts, and finally the stately magi, the wise men from the east, from Persia, from Iran, out back there in the shed. Our question for catechism tonight is a very simple one, which explains, aims at least anyway, to explain about why we have all the fuss. Is Jesus Christ God? Is he God? Yes, the answer goes. Jesus Christ is God. This is proven true by a triple proof, by his words, by his miracles, and the greatest of them, his resurrection. And it works, provided that you accept the scriptures and human history. In a word, that you come this night with some faith to the stable. A little lamb of belief would do for your offering. Faith, taking another's word for it on that person's authority. Consider first the words of the eternal Word made flesh, and how logically, with reason, we have to look at the proposition. It is this: anyone who calls himself God is either mad, he's crazy, or he's bad, he's a wicked person, or he's kidding, it's just a joke, or he is indeed God. Our Lord claimed to be God. He was not mad, nor was he bad, nor was he a comic. Therefore, he is God. Did he claim to be God? All the modernists deny it. Not up front and publicly, but they deny it, as do the Muslims, as did the Arians of old, and the Jehovah's Witnesses at your door today. But the Father and I are one, said our Lord. Or, before Abraham was, I am. Yahweh, the unspeakable name of God, spoken by his Son, I am who am. The very reaction of the Jews to that declaration of his divinity as they picked up stones to cast at him for a blasphemer, for he claimed the divine sonship, tell us our Lord indeed made the claim. Well, many people claim to be God. Most of them are crazy. Consider, though, the sublimity of the sayings of our blessed Savior. They are admired by all the world. Remember Thomas Jefferson? He had his own Bible. He couldn't bear the divinity of Christ, nor could he dispense with the wisdom of this great teacher, and with a pair of scissors in his King James, he cut out all of the references to our Lord's divinity and just left the teaching part, which is indeed admired by all the world. The Sermon on the Mount, or how our Lord so deftly handled the traps the Pharisees laid for him, the trick questions, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Secondly, nor was our Lord bad. His is the world's most sterling character. Our Lord is possessed of the most noble qualities of character: unselfish, fearless, calm, and poised under the greatest pressure. Humble, yet not without humor, forgiving, of goodwill to all, and of such love. Nor was he joking, a comic. Entertainers, tricksters, don't willingly stick around to die for their punchline. But he died freely. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. The reasonable man at this point, after even this cursory examination, must conclude with me that Jesus Christ is God, and that means something in daily life. His divinity is proven, too, by his miracles, which have never ceased in his saints and in the church. Only the creator of nature could interrupt nature. That's the definition of a miracle: to suspend its laws. For he is the lawgiver of all creation. To work a miracle is always to create, in some sense, and sometimes literally so. I remember hearing about a miracle once at Lourdes, Our Blessed Lady Immaculate. Some poor, ill person lost to disease a large part of the bone in his forearm. It was eaten away, and it was gone. But God healed him. And the x-rays before and after told the tale. What was not there was put there. Or a corpse, a rotting corpse, life returns to it. Our Lord frequently, in order to prove his divinity and for no other reason, works miracles still today. For he is the creator, he is God. The last proof is his greatest miracle. Those tiny little hands we kiss tonight would one day be nailed to a cross. His little sacred heart, before it is all done, must be pierced for us after death. The source of the church, the sacraments, the blood and the water, which St. John saw as he stood faithfully at the cross. And then on the third day, the sepulcher was sealed, as was the virgin womb this night. But Jesus Christ came forth living, glorious, triumphant, the same Christ who was born of Mary in Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, is born for us the bread of life in the blessed sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, in the consecration of this Christmas night. Jesus Christ is God. Or else, what on earth are we doing here tonight? Otherwise, it's all just one more version of a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. A few hours of moving entertainment, maybe. Memories, music, nostalgia, some drama, but of course here without the lines and the terrible crowds and the admission price. But otherwise, it would be about the same. But then finally, you know, if you get over to a theater to see it, the lights at the end go up, and out you go into the dark. Will you? No. Why, no? Could it be true? Could I, one day, in perpetual light, walk the stars? There is another way. It is His way. I am the way. And when it is over, all of it, the wars and the revolutions and the striving and the walking and the stumbling and the rising up again. And when it is done and the lights go out, you get to go to the light, even Jesus Christ, our Lord, because He is God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.